Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, the leaves what's up, on what's the up, trees everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Ty Bubba Horowitz with you. And what is going on, everybody? Mr. Trump is going to have to, we're going to have to buy stock in ink companies because he's signing these executive orders. Bang, bang, bang. And it is actually exciting to watch him work. And I don't mean, you know, whether you like what he does or none of that. I just like the way that he's always working. And, you know, that's what he does. But I think, you know, we've seen a lot of very important things. Now, again, there's going to be issues on getting this all through, but the markets reacted fairly well, pushing, you know, to new highs in a couple of the indexes. I think that you've got a pretty interesting situation brewing here, and I think a lot's going to depend on when he has to come down and meet with, you know, Congress and the Senate, and actually some of these things have to be passed. I think that might create a little bit more heartburn for our friend, Mr. President Trump, because, again, these guys are more concerned about their reelection than anything else. But I thought you saw great action in the with the passing of the pipeline. I think that was pretty exciting. I mean, I think it's something that needs to be done. I think the overall information needed to do for the pipeline is great for steel companies. I think it showed that we had, you know, a lot of, you know, pent up potential buying there. Now, you know, you will take a look though. If you look at U.S. Steel, for example, it did spike up and then balance and then sold off. So one of the things you have to remember, and we kind of talked this a little about yesterday, is markets have expectations. And many times, okay, the markets have already built, priced in the action that is coming on. So, you know, again, I just did yesterday, you know, after the close, I did an interview for CNBC Asia. And, of course, they were talking about this other thing. And I said, you know, well, you know, it's all great, but I can't get excited about, you know, what's going on until we see a resolve in the debt that we have here. I mean, there is so much debt in the system that, you know, eventually that's got to flush out. We cannot continue to, you know, to be worried and not have debt, because that's going to have to be dealt with. And, you know, so again, listen, I'm thrilled at the talk about infrastructure. I'm thrilled at the talk about what we're going to do. I'm thrilled that there's going to be hopefully a change in how fast you can get these projects done. You know, one of the problems is they end up for years it takes you to get anything done. And, of course, President Trump said yesterday, what, are we going to wait till the bridges fall down, basically? And I think that's important. You know, again, one of the biggest problems in the United States of America today is the amount of legislation it takes to get through. Okay? That is one of the biggest problems. So my concern is that will all these things pass? And that is where I believe we're going to have the overall issue and problem. Now, again, I hope I'm wrong. Okay. Again, I own the market long term. Yes, I am bearish short term, but I'm not getting out of my long term. So I'm very happy longer term. And, you know, it just, I don't want to get too over revved up on something that I think the markets have done a pretty good job figuring out ahead of time. Remember, when you're looking at the market and you're looking at the money flow, okay, you've got the smartest people in the world trading in this market. You've got everybody making their decisions based on and building up into. So very few things surprise Wall Street. Very few things get beyond all of the traders. And especially in today's world, you know, remember, years ago, you had, there was opportunity for that to happen, because years ago, information didn't flow so fast. But now, with information flowing at the speed of sound, basically, okay, everybody already knows. So it's not like we don't have an idea of what's going to happen. And that's what you have to remember. And that's what gets priced in well ahead of time. So the big rally we had, I mean, everybody kind of knew that Donald Trump would do some of these things anyways. So it's not for us to get overly excited. It's really for us to understand, you know, where we are and what we're doing. And if we get to that point and you realize that markets are markets and that we don't have to get overly enveloped one way or the other, I think if you learn to react to market direction instead of trying to predict it, I think you will find yourself a much happier camper in time. I think that we get far too excited about things that are not necessarily important today, because basically the markets figured it out yesterday. I hope that makes sense, everybody, because again, I'm all for it, okay? And we had, you know, Baba had big earnings and blew the door off. CEA Technologies blew the doors off. Google continues to go to new highs. So, you know, again, there's reason for excitement, but I think there's a bigger reason to believe that a sell-off is coming sooner than later. And what I really believe is I believe that the markets are searching for a reason to get that sell-off. And at the end of the day, okay, at the end of the day, you will get yourself ready to go. And we know the markets will be the markets. So, you know, again, let's not get, you know, overly consumed by what we hear or what we see. Let's make sure that we know exactly, you know, what we're trying to accomplish. And that, to me, is important when you look and you understand how the markets actually function, okay? And that's what I'm always about, is not so much, you know, you're not going to be right or wrong, you know, often enough to pick the market. So what you have to do is you have to be able to adjust and react to what happens, because the market is full of reactive information that does give you the opportunity, okay? And that is where we want to be at our best, is to be able to react to the markets when it's time to react. So again, it's exciting. There's a lot of good things going on, but there's still a lot of bad things that have to be addressed and changed, and what's going to happen, so on and so forth, with, you know, the overall votes and things like that. So, you know, I'm just saying to everybody, don't get too excited. You know, don't start loading up the boat, because things are still, you know, early in office and there's a lot of excitement. But unfortunately, typically when the Republican Party is in, there's a lot of fiscal responsibility and some not, but a lot more. And we could see, and probably will see, a pretty healthy correction. But again, I don't compare the stock market to the economy, because I don't think it's a true representation. I think that really what we've got is a market that's overvalued and an economy that needs work. But I think we're getting closer to that work, and hopefully we're going to get it done. And hopefully it's going to be a beautiful thing. And I couldn't be more excited about the potential of rebuilding America, which is what I've said since 2009, that we should rebuild America with the money that the Fed pissed away. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop by here for a break, but before we do, LibertyTalk.fm will get you the show download every single day. And of course, BubbaTrading.com will get you Bubba's Bottom Line, which is a new podcast I'm doing via TV. So make sure you check it out and check out BubbaTrading.com while you're there. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. With you, and of course, we're excited, we're having a good time, and you know, I always like to share Really good educational stuff with you and really good training study with you. So what we're going to do now is we're going to listen to Monday night's call. I want to share some of that with you. So let's go right now to Monday night with me. Here we go. All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard. What's going on? And welcome to, of course, Monday nights with me, of course. And there's me teaching in Vegas with my gang. We're having a good time and doing things. And, of course, the markets are the markets. They're dead. I mean, again, I hate to beat the dead horse into the world, but, you know, there's nothing going on, really. And it's, you know, been a great deal of challenge. It's been a market that has been in the tightest range in history, basically. Not in dollars, but in percentage. You know, it's interesting how the reporters report. If it's a big dollar amount, they'll report it in dollars, or if it's a big percentage amount, then they'll report it in percentage. So, you know, like, oh, the VIX had a 10% move today. And it was up a dollar, okay? Or Amazon's up $20. Now, you know, what's better? A 10% move in the VIX or a $20 move in Amazon? Well, of course, a 10% move in the VIX is more money. I mean, a 10% move is a bigger move than a 3% move. So at the end of the day, the markets are extremely quiet, and they're going to remain so until they find a reason to break out. And there'll be a reason. They are right now in search of, okay, that reason to go ahead and break out. And when it does, we never know. But what we always do on every Monday call is we always like to start out with our friend Connie. She sends us her words of wisdom every week, and it's wise to keep in mind that neither success nor failure is ever final. And of course, failure is the opportunity to begin again more intelligently. And, you know, that's, you know, something that we talk about often, okay, because, you know, trading itself is a series of failures. But when you have some early success or success too fast, we tend to lose our view. We tend to lose the proper sight, and that becomes a bigger problem over time. We're always optimistic, you know. Listen, you got to have hope. You know, you got to have the dreams, and that's, you know, what allows us to move forward. You know, that's the whole thing that it's about. And, you know, if you're consistently learning from both of your success and your failures, then you will have a much better chance, and you'll be able to have better success and lessen the failures. And I think that's important. When you have a trade recommendation, how much time should you give before filled? I mean, it depends on the trade. It depends on how active the option is. But, you know, again, the markets are just really dog tired here. They're just not really giving you enough order flow and enough paper flow. So again, I'm more from the school to try to let them work for a while. And, you know, you can move a penny or two around, you know, the way you need to go and, you know, usually go up to about a nickel, and you should get filled somewhere on there if that's near the midpoint. Okay. What's up? So, your method, short hogs, Jacob Volt. Yeah. I'm choking on those things again. No, they're actually doing better this time. I run up against it is when I hold entries and when it gets stopped. All right, we'll go over that. Packers took it on the chin. They did. Pats and Atlanta should be a good game. It should be. So I get all the questions. I'll get to the board in a little bit. But, you know, let's see what's going on. So the markets today, you know, not a heck of a lot going on. We're pretty much spot on last week. But, you know, as we look forward, okay, and actually I'm going to change up the order a little bit. So I'll discuss the markets in a little bit, but there are some things that, first of all, I always like to start out with my bitch, because that's me. I'm the king of bitching. And, you know, in this market condition, especially, and somebody, you know, a very good student said the other day that they've learned more from just watching than actually trading sometimes. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to say to you that sometimes there's just nothing to do. Okay. And, you know, you'll ask yourself, well, why did I make that trade? Okay. And that's the point. If you don't have a valid reason to make the trade, what are you trading for? Okay. You know, market conditions are good when they're good, and when they're bad, and you have to make the decision that, you know, if you can't find something good and you can't get what we would call a type of an edge trying to get in, okay, yeah, I'm a bitch. Yeah, I am. You know, it's just, you know, it has to be, you know, you have to have a reason. And I hate when somebody gets into trouble and it's because they're trying to overtrade. You're not going to guess the market. And if you do, okay, it'll cost you. You must let the markets do what they're going to do. Okay. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. You must allow markets to do what they're going to do. And when they're done, there'll be a footprint left for you that will allow you to participate. Just go. Gotta be careful why I read so fast here. Just what I learned by listening and digesting is invaluable. Yeah. Okay. Another Packer fan. Yeah, well, we're all Packer fans, you know. All right. So anyways, I usually do this in the middle, but I figured I'd try something a little bit different tonight. And, you know, these are headlines I usually read, but then I'm going to share with you and I'll discuss what I think of it all. But, you know, the question is, does a rising tide lift all boats? And I go, BS. That is not the facts. Okay. I mean, did anybody not watch the election, how the markets were flying higher and how Amazon and those are getting crushed? I mean, did anybody not see that? You know, anybody who thinks that, you know, when the markets are going up, you can buy anything, or when the markets are going down, you can sell anything, is an idiot. BlackRock or not BlackRock. Okay. You know, yes, if it's in the same industry, you have a fairly good chance. You know, financials are rising. Most financials will rise. But if you think that all the markets are going to go up because one stock's going up, if all the stocks are going up because the market's going up, that's ridiculous. That's why you have to take and watch the individual footprint, okay, on everything, okay? It's not the way it works, and that's not the way trading works, and nor investing. And it's us who fall, it's you who falls into those traps that allow yourself to get emotionally driven by idiots. Okay, but of course, what do they care about? They just want to get your fees. They don't care about anything else. As long as their stocks are okay, they can keep forcing you in there. They'll keep getting fees. Netflix adds new subscribers. At what cost? Now, again, I'm a big believer. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Netflix will be the next blockbuster. Okay, they will. They have the outside chance that they get taken over. Okay, which is very real because they do have good content. But their balance sheet's a little bit out of whack, and the stock is up a gazillion percent, and nobody cares. Okay, so they are acquiring new subscribers, but the cost is getting out of hand, and they do not have the capital to necessarily compete. And you can bet on it that, you know, when Apple or Amazon is ready, okay, these guys will either be put out of business or they'll be taken over by one of those two. Oil production cuts are purely a symbolic marketing trickery. All right. So oil, we've had the OPEC, we've had all the reasons, and oil has held up relatively well, but it's all a mirage. Okay. Now, again, I'm not telling you to sell oil today. I might. It's close. But I'm just saying that this whole thing is a mirage. Okay. The next three or four slides will explain to you what I'm talking about, but there is... We are producing at record amounts, okay? And we didn't cut. The only reason we cut, we're not OPEC. The only reason we cut part of it is because the frackers stopped fracking for a while because they needed to get more money, so they got the prices higher, okay?
And, of course, you all know I'm short oil, and anybody who listens to me knows that we're short together. And, you know, I think it's going lower. I love when I hear some of these guys dribble and drool on TV, but in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. And go to BubbaTrading.com and get Bubba's Bottom Line and check that out. In the meantime, I'm going to stop it here for a break, and we'll be right back with more from the Monday Night Call. Here we go. We'll be right back. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back to you.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends, and I'm always on fire, and this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, we were sharing some stuff about oil and about on Monday night, so let's get back to that right now. Here we go.
I mean, the last time that oil speculators this long, crude oil collapsed, okay? And I'm telling you, you know, look, you can see certain things in markets and certain footprints that we talk about, okay? Now, oil made its big spike up, and it was about 55 was the most recent high, and now it's like around 53. Now, if the whole market's long and believes we're going up, why isn't it going up? You know, it goes back to the Duke brothers. That can't be right. It's got to be going higher. Well, I'm telling you, when the teeter-totter gets too many people on one side, it has trouble getting there, okay? And then, of course, you talk about this is the first time Russia ever beat Saudi Arabia as China's top oil supplier. So what does that mean? It means that they're still pumping like crazy. Okay. Do we really think, does anybody out there really believe that anybody of these OPEC countries or nations actually cut producing oil? Okay. Or do they just say they would so they can try to drive the prices up? Okay. I mean, you know, again, we're talking about nonsense with these guys, because they don't do it anyways. And, you know, we used to be the biggest pigeons for that because we needed their oil. All right. We don't need their oil anymore. Okay. We have enough oil. We can export oil. So does anybody believe that they're actually doing anything? And of course they're not. Okay. How could we even fail? How could we even tell if they cut? Well, you know, we really can't. Okay. Just like they couldn't tell when the ISIS guys were tapping into their own drilling and stealing the oil. Okay. Oil is guided by a bizarre mentality. Well, I don't know. I mean, it should be a supply demand model. Will oil collapse take down the market? I don't think so. I mean, the truth of the matter is lower oil prices should be better for the market. Okay. But that could be the trigger, but I don't think so. Okay. Now, everybody's been watching this commercial all the time. The girl knows all your secrets, and she's a buy. You know, they keep talking about Amazon. And listen, don't get me wrong. It's a great company. I use them. I buy from them. I just like I use Netflix, okay? But they still, at some point, they have to start making real money. And at some point, the valuations become a little whacked. You know, they're the new $1,000 darling that's going to get there, going to get there, going to get there. And it may very well. But we all remember Apple when that was going to get to 1,000 and it was the talk every day. And at some point, you know, again, everybody's piling in. And this is one of the things when you have a volatility market that has none, that is loaded with complacency, nobody cares. Everybody knows the market can only go up. We might have Dow 1 billion before the end of the year, right? Because it's only going to go up. We're never going down again. Just go buy, take all your money and go buy. Okay. I mean, this is what they're telling you, all right? And, of course, Citibank remains the black sheep of U.S. banking. Well, listen, that's because they're the dumbest of the group, all right? They were the ones who took all the exposure. You know, Goldman Sachs is the smartest. Citibank is the dumbest, all right? And then you've got the ones in between. Then you got J.P. Morgan. But, again,
does anybody believe that these guys actually have enough in reserve to cover what they are lending out? And I would bet no. All right, that'd be my bet. All right, that there's no way. But you know, when you have the edge of having the Federal Reserve as the lender of last resort that has no clue and is willing to do anything, what do you end up with? Well, you end up with a situation and a position that, hey, we'll bail them out again. All right. And I don't think they'll be going to get bailed out so fast this time. But this is the problem when you allow not only a Federal Reserve to print money, but you allow banks to print money. Because when you're lending out at 9 times what your reserve is supposed to be, okay, you are in effect creating money, are you not? Okay. So that becomes a problem as well. Okay. Now, we heard for the last, 3 months, whatever, since the election, the Trump bounce, the Trump bounce, the Trump bounce. And it was great. Look, he's got a lot of great ideas. Okay. If he can cut regulations, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but if he can do all the things he says he does, it would be great. Okay. It would be great for the economy. It'd be great for jobs. It'd be great for business. Okay. But right now, it's more or less what they would say is a bear trap. So as you can see, the cash in the bear trap. But the reason is that the markets need a sell-off. The markets are searching for a reason to do just that. Now, you know, we can't predict when that's going to happen. But at some point, we're going to have real valuations on real companies, and there's going to be real money involved. And the markets are going to have a little bit of a sell-off. Okay, so the initial bounce was no big deal. And again, it was nice if you're in. I was in, make money. But at the end of the day, it's not going to sustain forever. You know, there's going to be things that are going to happen. And, you know, whether it's going to be his own party that's not going to let him do all the things he wants to do because they don't want to get they don't want to lose reelection. You know, they got elections in 2 years and there's some tight races. So, you know, that they're going to vote against on certain things that are going to potentially cost some election. So, again, it bears watching. I like that. It bears watching. And we'll see what happens. Now, the European VIX is the highest it's been in about 4 months. It's been spiking. Now, what does it mean? It doesn't mean a lot. I mean, it's just something. It's another thing to look at and watch. Okay? And, again, these are a little bit of warning signs that give you a general idea that there may not be everything so rosy as they would like us to believe. Remember, there's a lot of people trying to get out at the exits, okay? And even in the collapse of 08, you know the only one who got paid by AIG. Does anybody know who that is? One person got paid by AIG, okay? Does anybody know who got it? I'll answer that later. Okay. Yep. Goldman Sachs. All right. Goldman Sachs got the only insurance payout because they were smart and everybody. Look, again, I will tell you guys this straight up. Okay. When you hear these things and when people tell you how bullish they are, they're really trying to get you to get in and get you to buy. I'm just telling you, that's the way it goes. Okay. So is the collapse of the left and the Fed's great con? You know, our growth has been abysmal. Everybody knows that. It's not a secret. All right. No matter what the past president said, the growth was brutal. The jobs were brutal. There cannot be an argument about any of that. And again, I don't care who you voted for. It doesn't matter. Okay. At the end of the day, okay, the market was going to rally in 2008, no matter who you put in office. And no matter who you put in office now, the market is going to have a sell-off. You can bet on it. The problem is trying to figure out when. All right. But when the debt to GDP and the earnings and all the things change, okay, you can just see where we are. Now, that is not obviously a pretty chart. And, of course, this has been built by the bubbles that have been built by the Federal Reserve, basically Greenspan, Bernanke, and now Yellen. And this is the problem when you continue to forget about troubles and you continue to kick them down the road. All right. Now, how a slight advantage in investing adds up to big money, and that's really is hedging, okay? There are ways, you know, we talk all the time, and the greatest thing is compounding your portfolio, okay? And hedging is a way to do that, okay? And that's, you know, that's what they're talking about. You know, how do you take advantage of the market? That's why if you're not going to hedge, you need to only invest money that you're not going to need tomorrow, okay? Like, for example, I got the good news today. I needed a new water heater for $1,500, okay? Now, you know, if I didn't have the money, you know, I'd have to sell something to get it, and then that's what creates problems. That's why you need to be in, and that's one of the secrets, and that's how you gain an edge on the markets, by not being forced out of the markets. Now, there's a big talk about the fiduciary rule, which is, it's really a pretty crappy rule, okay? The fiduciary rule is how they govern brokers, advisors, and investors. And it's really a bad, bad deal, because it costs so much money for these organizations to have to be compliant and to have to go through all these regulations. And it's an unfair battlefield. For example, if anybody remembers the whale trade from JP Morgan, I don't know, it was about 6 or 7 years ago now, about $5 billion. Okay. You know what JP Morgan and all the big banks tell the regulators when they come in, right? It ain't happy birthday. Okay. They say, well, pay our fine, leave us alone. I mean, when's the last time we heard about Wells Fargo? They were on Capitol Hill for 3 days, right? They're too big. They just tell them to go scratch. Okay. Unfortunately, they pick on the little guys who are forced to pay. So not only do they have to pay compliance things, they've got to pay the fine because they can't afford to fight. So this would actually be very good, in my opinion, that, you know, every excuse is always made in the customer's best interest. Okay. But it's really not in the customer's best interest, because we end up paying for it anyways. So if the customers were diligent and did their job, then they wouldn't have to worry about these things, and there wouldn't be as much need for compliance, because they wouldn't be held to all these things.
And of course, you all know my opinion on the regs and all that stuff. I think it's a bunch of BS. It needs to be rectified. So I hope they do change this. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. LibertyTalk.fm to get the download of the show, and BubbaTrading.com to get Bubba's bottom line. We're going to step out here for a break and come back with Marlon Bowling from RFD or Rural Rally Radio. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. Radio, as we did this morning, and you can check out what I had to talk about in the grain space. Here we go.
Analyst Todd Bubba Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago to help analyze the markets. And good Wednesday morning there, Mr. Bubba.
Good morning. And say Minneapolis March 5 times in a row. That'd be pretty hard to do.
Yeah, Minneapolis March. You bet. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that one holding up a little better than the other two exchanges here lately. Overnight, a little weaker tone here in the general commodities, the way it looks for most contracts, though. But I'm hearing the Dow is coming back yesterday and overnight. You know, in a way, I think a lot of analysts would say, will you finally hit 20,000 and stick a fork in that thing so we can quit talking about it? They'll do it today.
I think that they'll probably do it. It looks like they're going to do it right in the opening. The Dow futures are up 93 as we speak. And we only need about 85 points to get there. You'll probably see it right on the opening, and you know, we'll probably see a little bit of a spurt through, and I think it'll probably be over for a little bit. I think that the Trump excitement, all things he's doing, very great and good for the country, but again, we've priced in a lot of this to begin with, so we'll get this up here and see that happen, and I think you'll see the dollar start to fall under par. I would expect to see maybe a little of a bounce off of par here, but I think we're headed back down into the mid-90s without much of a problem. So I think that things are going to be shaping up pretty good for our friends, the farmers and producers.
So a lot of folks may be sad if that's the case. They won't get to watch it push up through 20,000 if it just leapfrogs right over it and it's just there on the opening bell. That'd be interesting. Now, on the dollar, you talk about it maybe going into the 90s here. Explain how that is good or bad for the ag commodities.
Well, I mean, in typical range, I mean, a strong dollar means weaker exports, which takes away a big portion of the business that we do. Now, you know, it's been very, I think our farmers and producers have been very sharp and very fortunate here. I think they had already kind of priced in that higher dollar. And now that we come down, I think we're finally getting some good news for farmers and producers, because a lower dollar will create more buying from over out of the world, out of this country, because it'll bring value to the to them, and their dollars will buy more, and it'll give them a better shot to buy. And I think that will take away some of the competition in which we face, you know, through South America and through some of the other growing regions.
All right, what are you telling producers who talk with you these days, and they're wondering what to do about this corn market, whether they should sell now or maybe wait for a better opportunity here in the next 6 weeks or so? What do you think?
Well, you know, it's 365 is a real key number, and you know, we fooled around there, and then we broke back below it. Now we're at like 361 or 362. I would, you know, go ahead and try to wait a little bit here. I don't think we're gonna fall apart. I think the probability says we have a chance to go back to 380 versus, let's say, 355 or 350. So, I mean, obviously, it's a little bit of a risk, but I think the risk-reward favors to the upside. I think especially with this weaker dollar that we're going to see, that I think is pretty certain that we're going to see. There's a lot of factors now. You know, for 2 years, we faced every bit of bad news we could possibly face. And now I think the news is starting to turn into our favor, and I think that will relate to higher prices. So I would take a chance here and hold and see if we can get, you know, higher prices, because I do think there's going to be some movement, especially if we can get back over that 365 level once again.
And from what I understand, they are in the middle of planting their second corn crop in Brazil right now, right?
Yeah, and again, you know, if our dollar does what it's going to do and we get favorable, you know, pricing, then, you know, then it doesn't mean a heck of a lot when you start looking elsewhere, because we are still the best supplier if we can give them and deliver at the right price.
Okay, Todd, we're going to pause for a quick little break for a word from our sponsor, and I'll bring you back. We'll talk more about the markets in just a moment. We're talking with Todd Bubba Horowitz. He's with BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. You don't want to miss what's coming up. We'll be right back. On a Wednesday morning on Commodity Wrap, I'm Arlen Bowling with you. I'm joined by Zach Troutman, our producer and engineer. He's running the board for us, and on the phone we have Todd Bubba Horowitz standing by. He's with BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. Well, Todd, I was looking at the wheat markets here, and we've had a decent rally, I guess, in the wheat trade since probably about the week before Christmas, the way it appears. And now we're, we had a fairly hard down day here recently. It did not seem to violate that uptrend, though. How do you feel about this wheat market at this point? How are we situated?
Now, you know, I've been loving wheat for quite a while, and I still think it looks great. And I think that, again, this will get a lot of help from the dollar, but I think wheat will overtake back its dollar relationship over corn, and I expect it to see. I think there's a pretty fair shot it'll be in the fives this year. So I'm a big fan of wheat. I own it, and I'm going to continue to buy on dips. I think now we have to watch 420, 425 as another spot. Those are key levels, but we have seen some volatility come back into that market as well, which, you know, does tend to push it a little bit harder than it does. But again, it has been the strongest over the last 3 or 4 months out of the whole complex.
Now, I'm sure you perked up a few ears when you said that. Now, it does need to be said that the Minneapolis wheat is already at 560. So you're probably talking what, about Chicago
wheat? I'm talking about Chicago wheat. I'm talking about the stuff that I get to, well, I could trade anywhere, but the stuff I'm trading on the floor of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
So that's quite a disparity between Chicago and Minneapolis right now. You look at March in Chicago, we're at 423, and Minneapolis are at 560. That's almost a $1.40 spread between those two. That's really crazy wide, isn't it?
It is crazy wide, but you do get, you know, when you get markets that are obscenely crazy to begin with, and I'm talking about markets in general right now, you do see things that get, you know, pretty much out of whack, and, you know, you get an area there, but I think that will also come back into line as well.
Is that something where some traders are just working that spread?
Certainly they are, of course, and that's always, you know, traders themselves, when you can deal in with low cost and try to get an edge, you do trade that if you can, and guys that are down there that have that access can do that.
Well, a long time ago, you and I were talking. This is probably more like before Thanksgiving. And back then, you know, we were projecting crude oil at that time back in the low 40s. And I thought maybe folks would have a good opportunity to maybe lock in some energy needs for this year that we're now in. But that obviously didn't happen when OPEC had that meeting and they threw a monkey wrench into that formula. Now that we're up there in the lower to almost mid-50s, what do we do here?
Well, I still believe we're going into the 40s, Marlon. I, again, you know, this OPEC, I think OPEC is full of it. I think that most of the nations are not following it anyways, and that will come out. I mean, Russia has surpassed Saudi Arabia as the number one supplier to China. So does that mean they stop producing? We're going to start fracking a lot more here. There's going to be a lot more oil flowing. The new pipeline that obviously won't be here for 10 years, but the thoughts of it will bring prices lower. I think that we saw 55 about 2 weeks ago. I think our new highs here about 53. I would look for it to settle about 50, but before I would look to be buying and hedging costs, I expect to see back in the 40s, and I'm pretty confident we'll see back in the mid-40s, 45, and there's still an outside shot at my target of 40.
I know I've heard from some traders that are so frustrated with this lean hog trade lately that it's just like it's almost in a coma. What's it going to take to snap this market out of it?
Well, I mean, you know, you got to remember it's in a coma like at monster highs, and it's had just one heck of a dramatic rally off the bottom. I think, I mean, I'm still not a big fan. I mean, I'm a big fan longer term. In the short term here, I believe it's got to sell off. And I believe that in all the meats that we need some selling pressure, and we haven't been able to get it. Now, the last few days, they have been trading like they've been closed with really very little action. But I expect that to change quickly here, and I would expect to see some selling coming in here very shortly.
And in case everybody missed it, we had the cold storage report that came out yesterday. Frozen beef supplies compared to November were up 7%. Compared to a year ago, they were up 11%. The frozen pork, however, was down 8% from November and down 13% from 2015 at this time. So are either of those going to weigh much into the market today, do you think?
They might, but again, you know, markets pretty much have that stuff already priced in. There's not a lot of surprises that come out, so I don't get too excited about those. I don't think it's anything that was so unexpected that it would create any major move in the market.
All right. Well, excellent stuff. And Todd, if somebody wants to reach you, you have a tremendous website. Remind them how they can find that once again or get in touch with you.
BubbaTrading.com. BubbaTrading.com is the website, and Bubba at BubbaTrading.com. Check me out. Call me anytime. Email me anytime. I'd love to talk to you and work with you on your marketing plan.
And he also sends out text messages during the day for market updates, so you want to be sure and take a part of that as well. Thanks again. Good to visit with you again. Todd Bubba Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. We'll be back.
And that will do it for today. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. LibertyTalk.fm gets you the download. BubbaTrading.com gets you Bubba's bottom line. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.